You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast, and welcome to another week. I'm your host, Vinny Iyer, and when I'm not doing this, as you know, I'm covering the NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com, and what a crazy Week 13. It was lucky for some, unlucky for a lot of others when you expected things to happen here on Sunday. Some big games by a few teams and players, while a lot of ugly production out there overall. So we'll be happy to break all that down here and kind of put this week behind us as we turn the page to a happier time. Hopefully for you, it's the fantasy football playoffs here, or we're still trying to get in if you're in a smaller league in week 14. So that's a good thing. And as you know, in Focus Friday, we already broke down the Thursday game with the Cowboys and Redskins. We can put that one in the book. So we'll talk all about Sunday, and we'll have to start there in Chicago. And I picked the 49ers to win this game. They win, not exactly what way I expected, but 15-14. I thought there'd be a few more points in this game. Disappointing performance by the Bears overall. I mean, if you had Dontrell Inman, you were mildly happy because he had two catches, 21 yards on two targets, four TD, but that's about it in this game. I mean, Tarik Cohen was able to score there on that beautiful punt return, almost scored again in that same capacity. Really didn't touch the ball too much, but still was the leading receiver, four catches for 39 here. So Tarik Cohen ended up being a very strong RB2 play in kind of a backdoor kind of way, but that told you how the Bears were really struggling. Jordan Howard, this was just a terrible game for Howard. This is the worst run defense in the NFL, the 49ers. 13 carries, 38 yards. So Jordan Howard is really hard to figure out. He goes off against a team like the Ravens, but at home against the 49ers, great spot. You think game flow is going to go, and he gets 13 carries in a 15-14 game. This is just telling me we can't wait to get John Fox out. I think this reminds me a lot of Jeff Fisher and the Rams, and then they bring in Sean McVay, and it's a reminder, oh my gosh, this offense is pretty talented. Granted, they did bring in Sammy Watkins and Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods there, but Todd Gurley, this is a reminder there that with a better coach, I think Howard could be in for a big rebound. Last year, very similar to Gurley, big rookie year, down sophomore year. He had some good moments still, but I think he can have a much better third year with the right offensive coaching on this team, and hopefully that'll be the case here. But that was the biggest disappointment there for sure. On the 49ers side, we saw Jimmy Garoppolo. We thought he could be a bit of a sleeper. He did have 293 yards passing, but no TDs in this game. Did throw a pick. It was the Robbie Gould show here, pretty much. He was came back to Chicago and just whacked home five field goals here for the victory. So when you look at looking at the lines here, 8 for 99 from Marquise Goodwin there. Caught all of his targets from Garoppolo. Same thing from Trent Taylor in the slot. Six catches, all of his targets caught for 92 yards. So both of these guys have a lot more value with him in there. So all of a sudden, the wide receivers, doesn't matter who's in there, they're producing there with Garoppolo. They fell short of a TD, but they moved the ball pretty well. Carlos Hyde was a bit disappointing. 20 touches, 66 yards. So both feature backs in this game were highly disappointing, especially in a close game. It was just a battle of attrition for most of it. But Garoppolo did show a lot of upside here. Did throw his first career pick, but I think it was a tough first assignment. He still got the win here in reality. So in fantasy, I think he can have a bigger impact. But you got to like the way the 49ers defense is fighting, and Garoppolo is giving their offense a spark as well. We go to our next game, and this was an ugly game between two bad teams as well, except this one was all one-sided with the Dolphins 35-9. Now, it's weird. Both teams scored defensive touchdowns in this one. Jay Cutler, pick six. Trevor Siemian, a pick six. A pair of safeties that the Broncos gave up in this one as well. Pretty ugly. One on offense, one on special teams. So this entire offense was a mess with one exception. That was C.J. Anderson, which of course was a twist because we were ready to sit him for Devontae Booker. But then the Broncos all of a sudden give Booker three touches versus a 19 for Anderson, worked in Jamal Charles in there in garbage time with eight touches. So really disappointing if you had Devontae Booker. You thought they were going to maybe unleash him, maybe go to the youth movement. But anything we've thought with this Broncos offense has come to backfire most weeks other than the first 4 weeks of the season. 15 for 67 and 4 for 43. So Anderson actually went to 110 yards from scrimmage randomly in this game. But we had Demaryius Thomas 2 for 27 on 10 targets. And 2 for 11 for Emmanuel Sanders on 7 targets. Trevor Siemian was awful. 3 picks, 200. At least on the other side, Jay Cutler, yeah, he's messy. He had 2 picks, but 235 yards, 2 TDs. Still gets the ball in the hands of the main guys. PPR day, Jarvis Landry comes through. A tricky matchup with Chris Harris Jr., kind of a wash. 5 for 62 on 6 targets. Kenny Stills comes through here. 5 for 98 in a TD. So Devontae Parker, 1 catch, 5 yards. Even with the Cutler return, Parker didn't have much hope in this one outside with Bradley Roby. And Julius Thomas, as we thought, good chance to score a touchdown. He did. 3 catches, 20 yards, and a score there for Thomas in the red zone to opening the scoring here in this one. So Dolphins 35-9, all about them this week. And you had Kenyon Drake as well, feature back duties with no Damian Williams with the shoulder injury. 26 touches, 141 yards, including a 42-yard touchdown run there. So if you played Drake and weren't afraid about this Broncos run defense, thought he could do something in the pass game, you were thoroughly rewarded. Remember, sometimes volume pays, especially in a team in free fall there that the Broncos are at the moment, and the Dolphins took full advantage of that here in this one. 26-20 is our next final. That old NFC Central matchup, the Packers and Buccaneers, and Brett Hundley, we thought, could be a sneaky streamer in this one. His best production came on the ground, 7 carries for 66. If you look at it, for some reason, Brett Hundley has been terrible at home as a passer, better as a runner, and better there as a passer on the road. So very strange for a young backup quarterback like that, but only 84 yards passing in a pick. In a game that his team scored 26 points, that's because they were able to run all over this team. Hundley had the 66, but Jamal Williams, another big day, 21 carries, 113 yards, and a TD. He also had 2 catches for 10 yards. Aaron Jones got on the act with the winning touchdown. Only had 1 carry, but made it count in overtime there, coming back from the knee injury. 1 carry, 20 yards, and a touchdown to win the game for the Packers. So crazy, crazy there. The Packers defense gets on the board, too, with a strip 6 of Jameis Winston. Dean Lowry did the honors there with the run from the defensive line. So it was kind of a weird game. They got the job done with the running game and defense. Really didn't need Hundley too much, even through his struggles. Devontae Adams, 4 for 42, caught 6 targets, but they only had 13 receptions as a team. So there wasn't much to see in the passing game. On the other side, here's what you expected the Buccaneers passing game to go off. Instead, their offensive line was terrible. No left tackle there. Really cost Jameis Winston his first game back with a shoulder injury. 7 sacks. He had 2 TDs, 270. So he hung in there and had a solid fantasy day. But they both went to Cameron Brate. 2 catches, 39 yards on 6 targets for 2 scores. So Brate, Winston, that connection immediately showed up back in the red zone as O.J. Howard, 1 for 17. So it pivoted back from what we had with Ryan Fitzpatrick back to Brate. But Mike Evans, I don't know. He just laid another egg here. 2 catches for 33 yards on 6 targets. Against this secondary, it's pretty bad. And 2 for 24 for DeSean Jackson on 3 targets. We had higher expectations for both of these guys with Winston back, and instead it became the Brate show. And then you look at the box score in the end, you had 10 players catch passes from Winston. So spreading the ball around, we didn't think he was going to do that immediately, but Adam Humphries was a more productive receiver than both of those guys overall. Charles Sims had 35 yards receiving, and Peyton Barber was the story here. We didn't know who's going to take over with Doug Martin. We expect a lot of Jaquizz Rodgers, Peyton Barber, Charles Sims. We did get it, but it was a clear domination by Barber. 27 touches, for 143 yards here. While Rodgers didn't get any receptions, he only had three carries, while Sims touched the ball five times. So major domination there by Barber, and did things that we've seen not come from Martin for most of this year. So great all-around game. He's obviously going to be a priority pickup if Martin misses another game, even if Martin plays. I don't know how you can calm down with Barber if you're the Bucks now. With nothing left to lose, you might as well look at the younger back that you might actually keep going forward. Now, who are the next guys, young guys like Jamal Williams and Peyton Barber that you can look forward to in fantasy football next year? Well, you got to check on Locked On NFL Draft. We know the big stud coming is going to be Saquon Barkley. We know we're going to get him doing some amazing things in the NFL soon, as well as Bryce Love from Stanford. Gutted it out. Good to see him play with that injury and play so well for Stanford down the stretch. And he's a tough guy that the NFL loves, as well as Barkley. So both those guys are going to be big-time stars when they're in the NFL. So the way you find that out is listen to Locked On NFL Draft, best resource. Remember, it's not too far before April comes around. We're already in December here, so get to know those draft prospects now and start your advanced scouting for fantasy football now. Our next game here at the 1 o'clock window, and this was a shootout, so if you had Chiefs, you were finally happy. Well, with the exception of one, we'll get into that. But 38-31, the Jets actually beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs led 14-0 in this game, and yet another loss here. But from a fantasy perspective, Alex Smith, if you rolled the dice on him, you were very pleased here in your league. 366 yards, four TDs. They went back old school to what he did early in the season, were aggressive, throwing the ball downfield. The result was 6 for 185, including a 79-yard touchdown. And another score for Tyreek Hill on 9 targets, and Travis Kelce 4 for 94 and a couple of scores on 8 targets. So Matt Nagy took over as the play caller, the offensive coordinator of Andy Reid, and he became aggressive. And maybe we've learned that this is the guy that needs to call the plays here for the Chiefs to be most exciting. But the one thing that still didn't happen was Kareem Hunt getting the touches. You thought this was finally a chance if he was going to get Hill and Kelce back on track. Nope, 12 touches here for 63 yards. So Hunt had trouble catching the ball. And some of this, I think, is starting to be on Hunt. He really doesn't be reliable as a receiver. This game got a bit out of hand where the Jets were ahead, and that really hurt Hunt in the game flow. So things kind of did not work in Hunt's favor. He had Alex Smith as the leading rusher, one scramble for 70 yards. If you guys are old enough to remember the Steve Bono rumble for the Chiefs back in the day, that looked a lot like that with Alex Smith, except Smith was a little faster than Steve Bono there. So if you somehow played a stack of Chiefs, Smith, Hill, and Kelce in DFS, it would have been just a golden day, because the low in ownership, you would have been all alone enjoying that after what we'd seen before. On the other side, Josh McCown, we liked him as a streamer. We didn't expect the touchdowns to come too rushing, but you'll take it anywhere you can get him. 7 for 19 rushing, 2 scores, 331 and another TD. So if you had either quarterback in this game, you were looking very good in your league this week. And he made sure he got the ball to both Jermaine Kearse, 9 for 157, second straight big game on 10 targets for Kearse. Robbie Anderson, 8 for 107. Didn't score, that touchdown streak ended, but still went over 100 on 12 targets. You'll be very happy with that. And Matt Forte, again, clouded this backfield, but somehow him and Bilal Powell, 18 touches for Forte, but he turned that into 91 yards and a score. Bilal Powell had 20 touches and 50 yards and a score there. So just an all-out Jets performance where everyone is getting it done. 49 carries, 157 yards. So not very efficient, only 3.2 yards per carry, but they did score 3 times on the ground. They scored once through the air. So total Chiefs meltdown offensively, or defensively, I should say, right when their offense got going. So this team is an absolute mess. I don't think you should be scared about playing anything against the Chiefs at this point after what the Jets did in this game. Our next game is the Jaguars 30-10, staying in this 1 o'clock. We have a few more 1 o'clock games when we have all teams in action. And if you streamed Blake Bortles, you were happy there. 309 and 2 TDs. We thought they would go really run heavy, but the Colts kind of loaded up to try to stop Leonard Fournette. He was a little banged up. As we know, still banged up in the ankle injury, but Fournette still got his 23 touches for 79 yards and a TD. So he was still there. They just didn't want to overwork him a bit, and they could easily eat up this Colts secondary, which missing their best corner there in Rashawn Melvin. And that opened things up for Marquise Lee, 7 for 86 and a score. D.D. Westbrook went 6 for 78. Both very efficient there. And then Keelan Cole was the guy, the third receiver. They really picked apart one guy, Nate Hairston, the slot receiver or slot receiver cover man there for the Colts. And whoever was in that matchup or outside, they could have their way with that. Nate Hairston. So Keelan Cole also came through. Westbrook, though, was solid. So good overall game for the Jags passing game. And Fournette still was a decent game. You expect a little bit more, but you could clearly tell the Colts were desperately selling out to stop the run, and they got burned through the air. You look at on the other side, 10 points here. T.Y. Hilton, if you stuck with him and played him, and despite this bad matchup, he was rewarded with a 40-yard touchdown as part of his 3 for 51 on 6 targets. So one random big play got the Colts into the end zone there. And but you look at the Jaguars' defense came through again, 4 sacks, 2 picks of Jacoby Brissett. Not a bad game for Frank Gore, 13 for 61. The volume just couldn't be there when the game got out of hand, and the game flow really fell out of this team's favor. We go to our next game, 44-20. The Ravens pull away from the Lions. It got interesting here as it was 20-0. Then the Lions scored 13 points, all the points in the third quarter, and made it interesting. But then things got out of hand again as Matthew Stafford got banged up, his replacement for that drive there, immediately through a pick six. That was Jake Rudock, the former Michigan quarterback, did not look good in the Honolulu Blue right away, and that really cost the Lions. It led the game to unravel from there just as they were trying to rally in this game. So I really thought they had a shot to win this one. I like them in this, but the Ravens could put them away, especially with the Rudock pick six. Matthew Stafford, we thought it would be a bit of a struggle. It was. He still got to 292 yards, a touchdown interception, so not a great game overall. Marvin Jones did come through in a standard 4 for 90. It was a slow start, but made a few big plays to make up for it. Golden Tate, PPR day that you were looking for, 8 for 69 on 10 targets. But other than that, it was pretty much a slowdown, and maybe the Lions have found a running back here. Amir Abdullah missed the game with a neck injury. Theo Riddick did get in the end zone, and pretty solid replacement day with the 14 touches for 62 yards and a rushing TD. But Teon Green, yes, that's a real NFL player, 11 for 51 on the ground with a TD. So maybe they'll take a look at this kid a little bit more if Abdullah's banged up. Remember that Dwayne Washington could have been available for this game. He was coming back from his injury, but they chose to go with Green as maybe the early down type power back in this offense, if you want to call it that at all. But Green came through, reminded me a little bit of Joik Bell, had that kind of burst. He had a 33-yard run. So maybe they're on to something, and then maybe the Abdullah injury will open things up for somebody else to take over and be productive as a traditional running back on this team. So when you look on the other side, the Ravens, Alex Collins, we love this matchup. It took him a while to get going, but then, man, once he got going, he had 15 carries, 75 yards, and 2 TDs. The game flow really helped as the Ravens were protecting a big lead. He was the closer. 2 catches for 23 as well, which is a nice bonus when you have Danny Woodhead and Buck Allen. They only combined for 3 catches for 18, so Collins was a better effective receiver out of the backfield. And this Allen-Woodhead thing, like I said, it's very messy at the moment. Allen is playing over Woodhead. They're kind of negating each other. That's exactly what's happening. Well, Collins is just saying, hey, I'm the man here. I'm going to just take this backfield and keep going, and that's what you're seeing. Mike Wallace, if we wanted to find out who's the number one, him or Jeremy Maclin, Wallace's connection previously, having played the last season with Flacco, starting to show up in these couple games. Last week was a major disappointment against a favorable secondary, but this week, against a pretty tough secondary, Wallace came up with big plays, 5 for 116, 66. So I think he's always in the conversation as a wide receiver, 3, because of his chemistry with Flacco, and clearly Maclin, some early flashes of that are no longer materializing there. Benjamin Watson, the Lions can be more vulnerable to tight end. They have been of late. He did get in the end zone, 3 catches for 24 yards, so something to watch there against the Lions as they close out the season. Our next game was the Patriots in a bit of an ugly one against the Bills, 23-3. The big story here is Tom Brady was without a touchdown pass. And, well, if you look closely at the box score, you know why. 258 yards. Then he had to throw a pick when the game was well out of hand in the Patriots' favor. So not only didn't get a touchdown, he had to throw a pick to throw away what he did do. And you didn't even get double-digit points from him from the 258 yards passing. So that was disappointing. But 191 yards rushing. The Bills pretty much let the Patriots run all over them. Deion Lewis, 15 carries, 92 yards. Rex Burkhead, 12 carries, 78. He got the two scores in this one, as well as 25 receiving yards. James White had 9 touches, but only turned them into 50 yards. So this is definitely the Lewis and Burkhead show going forward. I wrote about that last week, that these are the two best options for this team, and they're going to go that way the rest of the way they're playing right now. There's no reason to change that. Rob Gronkowski, had the ugly hit on Tre'Davious White that we could do without, but we could do well with his game here. Didn't get in the end zone, but if he's not going to get in the end zone, you'll take 9 for 147 and 11 targets. So that means that Brandon Cooks was completely a non-factor. They just didn't need him to throw downfield. They just grinded with the running game. So you thought at some point Tom Brady would use it to take a shot downfield, but he was under siege. A lot of pressure by the Bills on this one. Had 3 sacks, so they just stuck to the running game, and Cooks was definitely hurt. None of that flip a pass touchdown here. This is just a bad situation where you see this sometimes in a few games from the Patriots where they just are able to run all over team, and Brady isn't needed much, and that happened badly for fantasy in this game. On the other side, Tyrod Taylor, we thought, could have some use as a streamer, but 65 yards and a pick before he got hurt. Nasty-looking injury here. Nathan Peterman came in, and you know that he wasn't too much effective already. 6 for 15 for 50 yards. So Taylor, disappointing, couldn't even stay in the game for the garbage time late. So Peterman had that. LeSean McCoy, solid game, 15 carries, 93 yards, and got over 100 with 2 receptions for 9 yards. So solid game. But you were hoping for someone to find the end zone for the Bills, but everyone shut down. Zay Jones, 2 for 22 on 7 targets, 2 for 21 on 8 targets for Deontay Thompson, 3 for 20, caught all his targets, but that doesn't mean much for Charles Clay. So disastrous game for the Bills, except McCoy would be able to salvage an RB2 flex-type day by going over a hundy, but really this Bills offense, if it's Peterman for the rest of the way, it's really hard to trust. And at least you know they're going to make this all about McCoy going forward, but everything else is kind of useless in Buffalo at the moment for fantasy. 24-13 as we stay in the 1 o'clock window. Just 2 more games left to talk about there. This is one of them. The Titans come back and beat the Texans 24-13. Texans were early in control of this one. Looked like they were in for the upset. Maybe stay alive in this division race, but instead they fall 4 games behind both the Titans and Jaguars with 4 left to play. Do the math, that's not going to happen for the Texans. At least they got some fantasy action here. Another solid game for DeAndre Hopkins, 8 for 80 on 14 targets. So solid, not spectacular, no touchdown to put over the top or no 100-yard game. But with Savage, you'll take anything like that at this point. And the TD actually went to Steven Anderson. So he's some guy that we have to look at. I think it's a little bit of a development with C.J. Fedorowicz being banged up. No Will Fuller still, but 5 for 79 at TD. Very athletic player, Anderson, as they've liked him for a while here. So finally kind of unleashed him a little bit. 12 targets right after Hopkins. So you cannot ignore that kind of volume for that player, especially with Braxton Miller and Andre Ellington kind of being the same player slot, kind of number two, that are being elevated with the Fuller injury. So Anderson, they need some blocking help for Savage. Anderson can do that as well. So a guy that you definitely have to keep in mind for a pickup here. We'll talk about him on Pickup Tuesday tomorrow. Lamar Miller, it wasn't the prettiest way to get there, but 15 carries for 36 yards plus 4 catches for 38 yards. So got right on the brink of 100 yards overall. So Miller and Hopkins still getting the job done somehow. Now Anderson is emerges a viable guy there. Still only 13 points for the Texans. On the Titans side, this one was interesting because it started to slow for Marcus Mariota, but he did get one touchdown rushing here with 3 carries for 23 yards. And that came through with a passing touchdown as well to Delanie Walker. Slow start for Walker, but these guys hooked up enough. We're 5 for 63 on 5 targets for Walker there. So good to trust the guys, especially with no Rishard Matthews. Had to miss another game with a hamstring injury. So it's going to be pretty much the Mariota and Walker show in the passing game. Mariota in the running game, as well as Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray. Again, stop me if you heard this before. DeMarco Murray, 11 carries for 66 yards. Yeah, looking pretty good. Okay, it's better than what we've had. 2 catches for 13. Okay, that's okay. But then Derrick Henry, 11 carries, 109 yards, and a 75-yard TD that owners would be thrilled to see, because there wasn't much going on. You were like, why are they keeping Murray in the game? Then Henry's there to run up the clock, and then boom, 75-yard TD. Very similar to what we saw with Leonard Fournette and the Steelers there. Like, you didn't expect it, but you'll take it. And it just boggles my mind that Tennessee still thinks that DeMarco Murray should be in an even split with Henry. But with the schedule coming up here for the Titans, some really bad run defenses. You look at the Rams and 49ers coming up. There's some chances for Henry to really explode like he did in this game. We go to our final 1 p.m. game. This was the marquee 1 p.m. game, and really not a good one for fantasy, however, unless you had Case Keenum. 14-9, the Falcons. So the kickers weren't that – well, one kicker was with Matt Bryant, but you expect a lot more from Clive Horbath, but it was too easy for the Vikings and too hard. So that's the worst combination when team only scores a couple touchdowns, can't get in field goal range again. And so you look at Keenum, 227-2. The touchdowns went to Kyle Rudolph, 4 for 36 on 5 targets, and 5 for 28 on 5 targets for Jerick McKinnon. So McKinnon was the guy that got in the end zone this week. He had 52 yards there from the backfield. You had Latavius Murray, okay day as well, ended up with 19 touches for 97 yards. So both of those backs were usable again in this matchup. The Falcons struggle with those type of backs, and you saw that develop in this game. You're a little disappointed if they had Adam Thielen or Stephon Diggs. The matchups look great on the other side, but really the Vikings didn't need them because it was a low-scoring battle of attrition. So 4 for 51 on 5 targets for Thielen, 2 for 32 on 5 targets for Diggs, especially with no Desmond Trufant on the other side. You thought this would be a big game for the Vikings receivers. Still, Keenum got his, and their backs got there. So a little too easy because the Falcons really didn't do much in this one. So Matt Ryan, highly disappointing, 173 yards, no TDs. With that, Julio Jones, 2 catches for 24 yards, lost the battle to Xavier Rhodes, 6 targets. So he explodes for 250-plus and 2 scores, and then the very next week he's down to 224. So you just wish he had some consistency from Jones. You'll take 100 and a score, something like that, instead of 1 week that he goes off and then pretty much the other week's not doing too much. And that was a struggle. Mohamed Sanu was the most effective receiver, if you want to say he was that effective. 3 catches for 43. Devonta Freeman actually ran pretty well in this game. That was the big concern. But 13 touches for 81 yards. Not bad coming back from his return, and especially in a tough matchup. Tevin Coleman really was bottled up by the speed of this Vikings team. 11 touches for 49. So a lot of things we expected. We just expected a little bit more scoring from both teams in this one, especially as the Falcons settling for 3 field goals at home. Highly, highly disappointing in a game of this magnitude. Now, whether it's the Vikings or Falcons or Texans or Titans or Patriots or Bills that you follow, make sure you're listening to the Locked On NFL Network. We have your team's beat report every week, every day. It's the best way to stay in touch with what's going on. Your team's player interviews, insight, in-depth analysis of what's going on with your team, how they're doing, the state of your team there. So it's a great, great resource on Locked On Network. And the guys, hosts across this network, do an outstanding job. Whether it's NFL or NBA, they've got you covered with your local team. Now we go into our late games, and we will go to the Chargers. This is the only 4 of 5 game. The Chargers beat the Browns 19-10. So you expected a little bit more from the Chargers, but then again, this Browns defense can be pretty good at times and been better of late here. But Philip Rivers still got 344 yards and a TD. Keenan Allen went off here again for the third straight week. 10 catches, 105 yards, TD on 14 targets. We liked Hunter Henry. Didn't get in the end zone, but still 7 for 81 on 9 targets. So they've simplified this offense a little bit with the passing game. They're not trying to mix in all these other guys, especially with no Mike Williams down here with the injury. It's Tyrell Williams is kind of faded. If there's a third guy, it's Travis Benjamin. He went 4 for 68 on 6 targets. But Allen and Henry, it's made sense all season. These are the two best receivers and best athletic players, mismatches all over the field. And the past few weeks, the Chargers have realized that Anthony Lynn has made a good adjustment to make sure Allen and Henry eat. In the backfield, it's still a bit frustrating with Melvin Gordon. You liked his final results in this one. He got to 106 yards there on 23 touches, but they're still mixing enough of Austin Ekeler to keep Gordon from having a big, big day. And only one touchdown here really hurt the Gordon-Ekeler combination. Ekeler got in for 6 touches for 40 yards. So he again looked like the more effective back. Gordon still left a lot here, but remember the Browns are a pretty good run defense here. So I think Gordon to go over 100 combined is very acceptable. A lot of field goals here for the Chargers left a lot of points on the table. On the other side, the Browns, the development here was that Josh Gordon returned. He had 11 targets. The connection with DeShone Kizer was off, but clearly treated as the number one in his first game back in 3 years. The starter easily, they're the number one look by far. 4 for 85 on 11 targets. Corey Coleman not even in the box score there for the Browns. So Gordon clearly looks like the number one. David Njoku took advantage of a pretty good matchup for the tight end, but 4 for 74 and a touchdown and 6 targets. So it was a lot of Gordon, not much anyone else here. Isaiah Crowell was shut down, 11 touches for 44 yards. Duke Johnson, even worse, 9 touches for 12 yards. So it's really about Kizer trying to feed Gordon as much as possible. And Kizer also rushing here, 5 for 46 for the Browns there. So Kizer, because of that rushing ability, he's got some deep league fantasy value, and he's kind of had it for several weeks. He didn't have a pick in this one, but 215 yards passing, a TD, those 46 rushing yards, that adds up to a pretty decent streaming day, especially if you're in the DFS and you're looking for something cheap with the rushing yards. Remember, that adds up to another passing touchdown at more than that, 4.6. So keep that in mind. Kizer is going to have some decent matchups here coming up to close the season. The Packers and Bears, Ravens in between there. So he does definitely have some use, and maybe Gordon will go off because of that. We go to our next one. This was 24-17, staying in the AFC West. The Raiders, we thought it would be a bit of a struggle for Derek Carr. He still was able to get one touchdown here in the game to a Johnny Holton, but 287 yards and a TD. So Holton ended up being the guy to score. But Cordarrelle Patterson, if you played him with both Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper off, you were very happy because he only had 4 targets but caught them all for 97 yards. So gave you some replacement wide receiver 3 value there. Seth Roberts, it was okay in a PPR, 5 for 46 on 6 targets. But they suddenly put in Clyde Walford to work in, and that really hurt Jared Cook in this one. Because Walford, we knew this team gives up a lot, the Giants, to tight ends. But Walford, all of a sudden, the kid from USC that has been a disappointment, got a lot of targets over Cook with those receivers out. 4 for 57, caught all his targets. 1 for 9 on 5 targets for Cook. So Cook was also banged up in this game, so that didn't help his cause either. So interesting to see that development with the Raiders passing game with the other two guys. Amari Cooper maybe will be back next week. We know Crabtree will be as well. So all those receivers you can go away from when those two return. When you look at the running game, Marshawn Lynch shot out of a cannon for a 51-yard touchdown early, but that was a struggle for most of the rest of the day. 17 for 101 and a TD, so still solid game overall. You don't care how it came, but you expected him to get a little bit more volume. Instead, you saw a little bit more of DeAndre Washington. He had the other rushing touchdown here, 6 for 16. So Lynch, it looked like it could be a monster day. It turned out to be a very great day, but could have been a lot more there, especially when you look at the 19 touches, 121 yards, and a TD. You wanted a little bit more. I know you get greedy in fantasy, but that's okay to be. Sometimes this is a game where you want as many points as possible. Geno Smith on the other side, making a start over Eli Manning. Well, the developments here was that Evan Ingram was clearly Geno Smith's top target. 7 catches on 8 targets for 99 yards and a touchdown. So Evan Ingram looks good with Smith. Sterling Shepard did look okay. I think he left a lot on the table here. 3 catches for 56 yards and 6 targets. That connection just wasn't there. But Smith was relying a lot on the safe passes. Ingram was creating some matchup ability. So if you had Evan Ingram and you were hoping for him to rebound and worried about Smith, it turned out to be in your favor in this one. The backfield was a total mess as they reintroduced Paul Perkins into it with Wayne Gallman and Shane Vereen. But if you played Orleans Darkwa, you salvaged your day there with 32 yards rushing and a touchdown there. So not a great day for Darkwa, but you'll take it if you were putting him in as a deep league flex, hoping for the best. You got the possible best that you could ask for in this one. But Smith, Ingram going forward, I think that'll be a big connection. Assuming they keep him in for a little while longer, I don't know how you could. He didn't play that great. But Davis Webb, you figure as a rookie, if he gets in there from Cal in the next few games, that he'll also look to Ingram as a security blanket as well. We go to our next game. This was the marquee late game, also involving NFC South teams. The Saints beat the Panthers 31-21. And really, the Panthers, it was a bit of a grind to get to those points. But you look at it, Cam Newton, 183 yards and 2 scores. He took care of Devin Funchess, 4 for 60 and a TD on 7 targets. And Christian McCaffrey, 5 for 33 and a score on 6 targets. McCaffrey wasn't too effective in the running game. And Jonathan Stewart did score there, but didn't look that great. 11 carries for 45 yards of TD. Cam Newton, a solid all-around game with the 51 yards rushing as well. So we had low expectations. The passing yardage wasn't there, but he made up for it with the rushing. And there's a couple of short scores there for sure. With no Greg Olsen, it's pretty simple that this passing game is mainly going to go through Funchess and McCaffrey. I think the Saints knew that too, and that's why in reality they could contain and win this game. Saints, if you're worried about their backs after being slowed down a little bit last week in a tough matchup, you didn't have to. Mark Ingram went off again here with 20 touches there for 122 yards and a score. So Mark Ingram got well in this game. Alvin Kamara just fine. Keeps it up from the Rams game from last week is for sure. 14 touches, 126 yards, and a pair of rushing scores. So what can you say about this duo? If you somehow drafted Ingram and Kamara, looking at Ingram as an RB2 and Kamara as a potential upside handcuff instead of Adrian Peterson, right now you're staring at having two RB1s in your backfield on the same team, and that is something that doesn't happen very often in fantasy, and Saints team keeps it going up and up. I think for my money, the way Kareem Hunt has fallen flat and Leonard Fournette has fallen flat, I think it's all about Kamara as your offensive rookie of the year for sure. McCaffrey has put up a good fight, but man, you can't compete with Kamara as that surefire winner at this point on a winning team, and a big reason why that team is winning. And I don't think that'll slow down anytime soon. These guys are going to win a lot of people some championships. We look at the rest of the receiving core, 5 for 70 and a touchdown for Michael Thomas. So you'll take that. It's been a bit of a grind for Michael Thomas, but he did score again against the Panthers. He scored in the first matchup there. So when they're running this well, it's just the way it's going to happen with Drew Brees. He's just not needed too much when they scored 3 TDs and 269 yards. If they're ahead and those running backs can get it going, you're not going to see too much more from Brees. So weird years year for the Saints. Their defense got better. The running game got better. And Brees is now more of a caretaker type for sure. We go to our next game, and it was the Cardinals being doubled up by the Rams, 32-16. Jared Goff, solid day, not great. 220 yards, 2 TDs. There, they went to Sammy Watkins, 3 for 38 and a score. Gerald Everett, 2 for 7 and a score. Cooper Kupp, 5 for 68 here on 6 targets there. So We thought the Cardinals' defense would play a little bit better, but their offense really kind of hurt them in this one because they gave up a defensive touchdown, and it's pretty ugly. Todd Gurley, the game flow was in his favor, 19 carries for 74, so he had to grind him out. Pretty tough Arizona run defense, so you'll take that, plus the six catches for 84 as well. Very Marshall Faulk-like numbers when he was shut down. In the rushing attack, he made up for it more than enough in the passing game. That's what you saw with Gurley in this one for sure. So great, solid game for the main Rams guys who would have played in this one. For the Cardinals, the late scratch was Adrian Peterson with the neck injury. He could not go in this one. So Kerwin Williams took over and looked pretty good. We thought we could see DJ Foster, but Williams was clearly the starter. 16 for 97 for Williams. So solid game. I don't think Peterson would have even done that well in this one. So DJ Foster, we can pump the brakes on him. There was some buzz about him, but only four touches for 25 yards in this game. So not very good at all. We thought Ricky Seals-Jones would come down to earth. He did. 5 targets, 2 for 44. So back to it not being that good. And then Larry Fitzgerald took over as being what he usually is. Caught all of his 10 targets. What can you say? Stud Larry Fitzgerald. Great PPR day. Great standard day. 10 catches, 98 yards. And a TD for the Cardinals. So Blaine Gabbert was ugly. The Rams defense was really a good play this week. Took 6 sacks. But still got the ball in the hands of Fitzgerald and really helped one running back have a good day, even with Peterson out. And we'll close with Sunday night football, staying in the NFC West with the Seattle Seahawks. And this was all Seahawks, 24-10. And you look at Russell Wilson, what can you say? He ran around, made some big plays, 227 yards, 3 scores, 31 yards rushing, no picks here. Then you look on the rushing attack. Mike Davis had a pretty good game here, 16 for 64. Was treated like a feature back, had 4 catches for 37, so went over 100 as well. And a week where not a lot of running backs went off unless they were the Saints. And you look at that, and that's a very good production line. So I think they may have found their back here with Davis coming back from the growing injury. He definitely was the key factor. J.D. McKissic did score in the backfield on reception, 15-yard only catch, but turned it into a score. Tyler Lockett had only 2 catches, but turned one of those into a score. And Jimmy Graham, only 3 catches, but he scores almost every week, and that happened again in this one. Doug Baldwin almost scored. He was held short there of the goal line. That turned into the Lockett short pass, but 5 for 84 and 7 targets. So you would have loved to have that touchdown that fell just short, came back on a replay that he was out of bounds right before he broke the plane. So it was a disappointing thing. But Baldwin, after last week's clunker against the 49ers, you would take that in a heartbeat. So same thing, business as usual for the Seahawks, except now that Davis looks like a back that they can totally trust here going forward. We look at the Eagles, and this was one of their most disappointing games, really a disappointing game that you didn't see coming necessarily. 7 for 141 and a touchdown, 12 targets for Nelson Agholor. So if you started him, you were thrilled with that. But everything else was a disaster here. Alshon Jeffrey, fresh off the new contract, 4 catches, 61 on 6 targets. So not terrible, but you expected a little bit more against his banged-up secondary. You look at Zach Ertz, 2 for 24 without a Cam Chancellor. He thought he could be more effective, but unfortunately, Ertz was bottled up, and then he got hurt near at the end of the game with a head injury. He had to be removed there. Trey Burton had to take over, and he got 4 for 42 on 7 targets. So if Ertz is going to miss some time, I think you have to look at Trey Burton because he's the direct replacement, and we've seen him produce immediately. In previous game when Ertz was out with a hamstring, and if Ertz is out again, I think you'll see Burton step into a bigger role in some of the, if you look at it in fantasy. Backfield, we thought the whole thing would struggle, and they did. 9 for 35 for J.J., 6 for 30 for Carson Wentz, 8 for 26 for LeGarrette Blount, 3 for 7 for Corey Clement, who added 3 for 30 in the passing game. So this backfield monster in a tough matchup is not going to produce. 348 and a touchdown. Wentz with the rare big 300-yard game with no TDs. You'll take it the other way around. You want the 250 and the 3 or 4 scores, but he had the pick. He had a fumble loss through the goal line when he was going into score. So Wentz could have had a much bigger game, but instead of the 2 turnovers, there are only 1 TD. The passing yards help, but overall, he did not perform the way you've been expecting, and he's just been on a tear all season. So you expected a bit of a shootout here, but the Seahawks dominated 24-10. So Wentz and Brady, the two top quarterbacks in fantasy, really struggle here when you may have needed them the most. But Wilson may have that mantle, really, with the way he's playing and how much he's carrying the Seahawks team at this point. So keep that in mind. So there you have it. There are the Sunday recaps and analyses for you from Week 13. We have one more game with the Steelers playing the Bengals tonight. But thanks so much for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes, and you can check us out on our platform on Panoply. And we like being there, and we like that you listen there. And keep in mind, if you leave a review of the show with your Twitter handle on iTunes, you can win that Pro Football Focus Edge subscription, a $39.99 video. So please leave some kind words, and you'll have a chance to win that, one winner per show per week on the Locked On NFL Network. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll talk to you tomorrow for Pickup Tuesday with your waiver wire and free agent advice.